Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field. To promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams, here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our special guest is Sonia Mack. Sonia is a mom, a wife, an author, a creator, and by day she works as a physician assistant. We are so thrilled to have her here. And Sonia, what I want you to first do after, you know, saying hello is let us know the name of the company you founded.
Sure. Well, thank you again for inviting me on. And I love your story. We had a chance to talk about that just a little bit before we started, and just especially what you've created. I love that. And just the message of allowing people to dream again. It's my favorite. So like you said, my name's Sonia Mack, and I created the Live Joy Life. And really it was born kind of out of my own pain, but it became something greater than that when I realized that I could use these principles that I had learned about as I was going through that difficult time to help other women give their pain a purpose and find joy again. And we do that through the Live Joy Life principles, some mindset, God, of course. And it's just been such a wonderful thing for me to be able to share with all these other women and just hear their stories and learn from them as well. So,
yeah. When did you company?
Yeah, I started the Live Joy Life, the idea for it probably about 5 years ago, but really started building it in the last year. And it's really gaining momentum. A dear friend of mine is also helping with a little offshoot of it that we call Soul Sisters Unscripted. We feel like it's really important to have a supportive community when you're going through something that's painful or traumatic or causing grief. People that feel that you feel comfortable talking to about it, who you know will support you and just understand, because I think a lot of us who have gone through something traumatic or painful, we feel like nobody understands us. Like it's hard to, you know, some of your normal friends or your normal family members, though they really want to help, sometimes they don't understand. And so just having that supportive community is really important. So then as you know, you mentioned I'm an author, as when I was writing my book, the Live Joy Life really just blossomed because a lot of that meaning for the Live Joy Life came through when I was writing the book.
Yeah, and I understand that it launched in December.
Yes, it did launch in December, which is so exciting. It's a true story, based on a true story. It's kind of I call it my own pain to purpose story. And my mom passed in 2010 from ALS. So just the briefest version of that. And I was having a lot of trouble with kind of figuring out what the rest of my life looked like without my mom, because I was only 29 at the time. And there was a lot of big, painful things that kept happening. And I just really, at first, wanted to write this book to remind myself that, you know, my memories of her were so strong, I could write her back into the story. Well, it became pretty clear pretty fast as I was writing my book, which is called This Changes Everything, When Death No Longer Has the Final Say, that the story was so much more than just my story. It was a story for other people too, a story to give them hope. People who are grieving, people who found loss, you know, people who just want to give their pain a purpose too. It just felt like it was meant for so much more. So I'm really excited to see that out and helping other people the way it was meant to.
Wow. Yeah, ALS, that sounds pretty heavy. Were you and your mom close before she became ill?
Yes. So people jokingly called my mom and I two peas in a god pod. My brother called me her mini me. We were very close. I often kind of joke that she was my compass. She was my best friend. We did everything together. I was younger than my brother and sister by 7 and 9 years. So anybody who's the baby of the family understands that, you know, you're usually your relationship with your mom or dad, whoever is kind of your closer parent, is often a little bit different when you're the youngest. And so my mom and I did everything together. So that's why it was especially traumatic for me when, you know, going through ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, just knowing that there wasn't anything that we could do to stop that. And then ultimately just realizing that I was going to lose that incredibly important person in my life. So she was the best. But that's also another very fun part for me with the book being out now is people are getting to meet so much of her. So I get to continue to share that legacy. That's really helpful too, is finding things to look forward to in the future. So
beautiful. Yeah. And the book, Amazon, typical bookstore.
Yeah, it's available anywhere books are sold. Yep. Barnes and Noble, Amazon, all of those places. So I know it's available in quite a few of the local bookstores here in Des Moines. I'm not sure about some of the other ones around the country, but yeah, the major booksellers it's available in.
Oh, so cool. And what an honor to your mom. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
And is your mom the reason for the book, or is there other traumas that you included in your story?
Yeah. So, that was one of the biggest reasons, like I said, for writing it was, my first child, was born 9 years ago, and she, had to go to the NICU and then had colic. And so that was very traumatic. And then my second child, who was born 6 years ago, had a major medical condition, and we didn't know if she was going to survive when she was born. And still is doing very well, really, considering, but, we still have that. And one of the things I like to talk about sometimes is that, you know, grief is not, just losing someone you love. Grief is the loss of an expectation for the future, you know, whether that means, you know, you expected, whatever way that life kind of gave you something that changed what your future was going to be. So for me specifically, obviously, I do grieve the loss of my mom, but I grieve the loss of a normal newborn period. I don't know what it is like to have a baby that just sits with you in the nursery and is healthy and then comes home with you a couple days later. You know, that wasn't my story for either one of those. And but for some people, it's, you know, sexual trauma. For some people, it's loss of a, you know, I work a lot with breast cancer patients. So a diagnosis, which can be extremely traumatic for people. So there's just, I think there's this overwhelming feeling for me to just want to express to so many people that it's okay to be grieving. And it doesn't just necessarily mean that you have to be grieving someone. It can be, there's a lot of reasons why we grieve.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little more about what you do for women in your program.
Yeah. And the Live Joy Life. Yep. So, we really start, so the Live Joy Life is, made specifically more for kind of the woman who feels that they have gotten there, they are ready to kind of, they've processed their grief or trauma in such a way that they are ready to then turn the pain that they were feeling into a purpose, into a reason, give it meaning now. We really help in the early stages to help kind of calm that chaos that goes on in our minds. So many of us are busy working moms, and it's hard for us to even know what that next step is because we are so busy. So with the Live Joy Life, we really talk about I call it the ACE method. It's something that I created that came about through God for me. Faith is huge in my life, but just these principles that came through. So assessing all of the overwhelm, all of the chaos, all of the things that are that we have on our list that are making it so that we feel so overwhelmed. And then contemplating is really sitting with those areas of overwhelm and with the Live Joy Life principles, which are things like faith, hope, love, and being able to look at, okay, so my areas of overwhelm include right now, possibly, you know, maybe it's my job. And then, you know, I'm still processing a little of, I'm still processing some of this trauma I'm going through, or I, you know, maybe my marriage is not doing as well as I had hoped, whatever the areas, you know, the kind of the highest areas of overwhelm are. And then we sit with the contemplation of which of these life spiritual principles are coming up to me as ways that I can then help move through that chaos that's coming. And then, so for instance, maybe I choose faith and generosity and forgiveness as my three. And then execute is just really working with these women to how can I bring those principles into fruition? How can I move through those to kind of feel like these areas of my life are a little more under control so that I'm open to seeing, okay, now that I feel like I have a little bit more control over my mind and my thoughts, now I can look forward and, like you said, dream, right? I love that so much because I think that's one of the things that we let go of sometimes when we're going through something painful or grief or trauma is we forget that, you know, we still get to dream in the end. And so that's really what it is it's kind of a process. Early stages are helping people kind of contain that chaos, overcome the overwhelm. Second stage is more managing mindset. Things like recognizing that fear is a liar. That's how we say it. Just gratitude, how important that is, stillness, recognizing how important taking care of ourselves are, things like that. So, and then really getting into how can my particular story be of purpose in the future. So there's kind of some stages there too, but that's the fastest way I can give you the story. Yeah.
Well, I also love the idea of your program. My guess is, and I mean, you've certainly articulated this as well, is that it's pretty holistic because it talks about faith. Mm-hmm. I hear some mindset, mm-hmm. and then you're a physician assistant. So I'm sure you can't leave your medical knowledge out of the door when you're working with women. So I think that's a beautiful combination. It sounds pretty holistic. Would you agree that's holistic?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. It definitely focuses on, I think so often, especially as women, and especially if we're moms, or wives and, you know, or we just are spinning a lot of plates. We forget to take care of ourselves. And so, that it really does have kind of the mind, body, soul connection, making sure we take care of ourselves on all those levels. So yeah, it really does kind of hit on all of those.
Yeah. My editor will take care of all those little.
Totally. Okay.
Okay.
God for editors, right? Cause they do the same in books.
Let's pause for a minute so she knows where to stop.
Yeah.
Okay, well, your program sounds really fascinating and exactly something that a lot of women could benefit from. What type of woman do you tend to attract? Is it someone middle age? Is it younger moms? Is it the spectrum? Do you have some older women in it?
Yeah, it does tend to attract more kind of what I like to call high achieving, which just high achieving only means that they have a lot of plates spinning. So they probably have, they're usually working moms that are also trying to kind of start, like they're trying to do something on the side also. So they just have a lot of plates in the air. It does tend to probably cater a little bit more towards, I would say people whose children are, you know, still of school age, just because that I probably because that's the age that I'm at. And so it seems to be most relatable, I would say. We're really ramping up kind of the coaching aspect of things, and then want to work towards kind of doing our dream, our goal for the long term is to do some conferences, some that are more high energy, group based, and then some that are more quiet, still spiritual kind of things, just for people who are looking for more of the rest side of the program. Because I think, you know, it's important to note that we're not all the same. Some of us, we thrive on the, you know, the go girl kind of thing. Yes, give me the big conference, the music, and the all the women. And some of us are more, a little more introverted and just need that time away to be quiet and introspective. So I would say that's typically more who the program relates to. And I mean, same on the flip side of that, the book itself is kind of geared towards most women of most ages, because I think, you know, a lot of women who are more in the, you know, their kids are a little bit older and maybe they're even having grandkids, they're going to relate a lot more to my mom, because she is quite the hoot, actually. And, you know, where the people that are more like what we just talked about are going to relate a little more to my character in the story.
Sure. I'm curious about your faith walk, because it sounds like it was a one of the biggest tools going through. What about your faith are you willing to share with us today?
Yeah, I will share. I will be completely honest with you. So, I write in the book, In This Changes Everything, I write about that, you know, growing up, my mom had a quiet faith, I call it, where she believed that God existed, but we didn't really go to church. The reason I went to church when I was a kid was because my grandparents would take me out to eat afterwards. And I was like, yes, take me to the restaurants. So I would sit, you know, I'm raised Catholic. So they were sitting, you know, I'd sit in the pew and do the things that I was supposed to, knowing that grandma and grandpa would take me out to eat afterwards. And then that really started, you know, God really started to come into my life a little more as I went into high school and had some friends that were really into the faith, just all different types of religions, really. And so that's when I really started to kind of grow that side of my life. But I'll be honest, when my mom passed, you know, I went through a period of time where I will use the word hate, and I don't use word hate often. You know, I felt like I hated God, or even questioned whether he existed, at that period of time. But I'm a writer, so I continued to journal, and I wrote about all that in my journals about, you know, my anger and my frustration, and just, why would you do this? Why would you, you know, let me go through this? And, he just kept saying to me something bigger, something different. And, you know, that in and of itself still kept made me mad. I was like, what are you talking about? Something bigger, something different. How is this extremely painful thing going to end up being something bigger or something different? And it was years, 15 years, actually, I was just talking to somebody about this, that something bigger, something different just kept sitting on my heart. Well, God knew that I needed to go through the pain and grief of losing my mom. I needed to go through the birth of both of my children and a few, you know, other things that kind of came up along the way. in order for my full message of your pain having purpose to come into fruition. And so, yeah, my faith walk has been like a lot of people's. I feel like it, you know, there's times when it was really, really powerful and times when there was almost nothing existent. But I would say right now at this period in my life, my faith is by far the strongest it's ever been. And I think it's because of that message that God has put on my heart that my pain has purpose. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28, which is all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And it helped me remember, okay, all things have purpose. All things have meaning. It's just, we have to, when we're ready, because that's a big thing. Some people aren't ready. That's something I am very cognizant of, is some people are not yet ready to hear that message, and that's okay. They're just in a different journey, a different place in their journey than I am. And that doesn't mean anything bad about them, or that they're in the wrong place, or it's just that they're not quite ready for that message yet. And that's okay. That's an okay place to be. So yeah, it's just, that verse has always carried me through and helped me remember that whatever I go through, I can use these gifts of these principles that God has given me, and I can use those knowing that in the end, he's going to show me that there was something bigger for all of this. And that, I think, gives people hope. I think that gives people hope, and hope changes everything.
Really does.
Changes everything. If you're going through something and you can find even the smallest bit of hope, I think that's enough to light just the smallest little bit of a fire.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. Like, I think I totally agree with you that our faith walk kind of ebbs and flows through life for many different reasons, and certainly losses is one of them.
Yeah.
So what else, other than faith, when you could lean on it, what else has been helpful along your healing journey?
Yeah. Therapy, for sure. I have found as I was just mentioning, where some people aren't quite ready to hear that their pain has purpose, I was there for sure. If you would have said that to me back right after my mom passed, I probably would have looked at you and rolled my eyes, you know, because I wasn't ready, and that's okay. I then, you know, in that period of time, what I really needed was a therapist, someone trained to help me process through the grief that I was feeling or the trauma that I was feeling. So I've seen multiple therapists throughout my life, and I think they serve an incredible purpose. Of course, you got to find the right one, right? It's just like anything in life. Sometimes you don't click with the first one. So if you don't click with the first one, keep trying. But definitely, a well-trained, empathetic therapist is huge. I specifically have done some EMDR therapy. That has helped a lot for, I don't know how much your audience knows what EMDR is. I always forget. Do you know what that, I can never remember what the EMDR stands for, but it's like eye movement,
I can't say the word.
Yes. Desensitization. Yes. Thank you. I don't know why I just had that, like, you know, that brain poof where you're like, I should know what these letters stand for, but yeah, that's
the R, sorry.
That's okay.
EMDR, eye movement, desensitization, which I can't say, recovery.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was very powerful.
Long time ago.
Yes. I also have used tapping. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know I actually listened to an episode on your podcast about the tapping, and that just kind of further, sometimes when I get really anxious and I can't calm myself down, which is common for a lot of us, tapping is huge. I've used that before. I am a book nerd. So I have read a lot of books, and some of those are really, really powerful. Specifically, I've read It's All Under Control by Jennifer Dukes Lee. I've also read quite a few books by T.D. Jakes. Destiny is probably my favorite because he has a whole chapter in there about how the painful things in our lives can actually open up like what we're destined to do. So that's a really powerful book. What was the other one? I actually wrote it down because I knew I would forget.
Know you podcast because I love talking about books.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And then The Power of Positive Thinking, actually, by Norman Vincent Peale. It's a super old book, but it's really good. It talks so much about just our mindset with being able to think more positively, but he gives like so many different ways to do it because, you know, not everything clicks with us the same. We're not all the same. How about if it's okay for me to ask you a question, what are some of your favorites for that? Only because, like I said, I'm a book nerd and I love reading and learning more from those.
And I have so many books that are favorites, but the ones I use the most in my practice are The Body Keeps the Score.
Okay.
By Bessel. I went blank on his name, but he's the director of the Trauma Research Foundation.
Okay.
He's he's a Dutch psychiatrist. My other favorite book is The Feeling Good Handbook. And I like the handbook versus the book because the handbook is full of cognitive behavioral therapy exercises. So it really teaches you how to stop your thoughts and analyze your thoughts in an effective manner. So I've been teaching CBT for like, I think I'm 18, 19 years now.
Yes.
So that's my favorite. And then I tend to treat a lot of people that have problems with anxiety. So the Anxiety and Phobia Workbook is just a beautiful guide of different skills in there. My favorite book of all time is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It talks about suffering.
Mm.
He's a psychiatrist. He was in the Holocaust camps or concentration camps. His family was, killed, and yet he was able to help others despite being, starving, and he had bugs and
mm-hmm.
He was really sick, and he was still able to find meaning by, still looking for places where he could serve out a purpose. It's a really powerful book. Yeah. And I admire him so much. And I don't think that I could have been who he was in those camps. Like, he's just so crazy powerful. So that book was really inspiring as well. And of course, the Bible, right?
Yes. Yes.
Let's see. Really, I try to read all the books that my guests write.
Oh,
and
nice.
And a lot of my clients write books. So I love supporting other people I know that are writers. I'm also working on my own memoir. So that will be out hopefully by January. Things go well. Yeah. So thank you for asking me. I think you're the first guest who's asked me that question.
Oh, well, I this is how we learn from other people, right? Is by asking. And gosh, books are so powerful. I often think, you pick up the right book. God has led me to the right book at the right time so many times. And you'll get it might be the whole book, or you'll get like one or two nuggets out of there that are just like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And and I think that's why I love them so much, because especially from a God perspective, so many of us are trying to, we just want to hear the answer, or we want to hear God talk to us. He speaks all the time through books, all the time. I mean, I would say almost all of my book was written with I would handwrite more of it than I typed on the computer, because when I write, I feel like the Holy Spirit writes through me sometimes. It sounds crazy, I know, but it's just how I feel like God talks to me sometimes. And so sometimes I would just be writing and it would be furiously writing. And then maybe like my husband or my kids would try to walk in and I'd be like, no, 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 get out. Please, please, please don't come in. Cause you're getting like a download. That's T.D. Jakes calls it a download from the Holy Spirit. And you're just like, no, it's like you're trying to download something and you're afraid if they walk in, the download will stop. And so that's like how it was with the book. I would just be like writing, writing, writing. And then I would go back and reread it. And I'd realize how much I needed that message as much as somebody else might. It was just so crazy for that. And so that's why I love to hear what other people are reading, because so many of, and being an author, I am now like people send me books a lot because, you know, we send each other books all the time. And like, what, hey, what do you think about this? And oh my gosh, there's so many powerful books out there. So to be recommended though by someone like these books, I'm definitely going to look into these, because when somebody recommends them, they've really impacted them in a big way.
Just a heads up that the Feeling Good Handbook, yeah, the joke in psychiatry, it's the Bible for psychotherapy. It's pretty, okay. So it's okay to just consider as a reference book, you know, going through the table of contents, reading what pops out at you, but it's a fabulous book for in terms of learning how to analyze your thoughts in a more logical, clear-headed way, because a lot of times when we get emotional, we're not being logical.
So, amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Love it.
The thing about the Holy Spirit when you're talking, because I wrote about the Holy Spirit in my book, and I'm wondering now how much of my flow was a download or not, and how funny is Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want me to tell you a little story about the Holy Spirit?
Oh, please. I love Holy Spirit stories.
Okay. Well, this one is probably quite unique. So, and it's in my book. Both of my grandmothers were faith-based women. One was Catholic and the other was Pentecostal. So you can imagine, you know, what I was very close to both of my grandmothers in different ways. So my Pentecostal grandmother has offered up Bible camp to me. And it was very boring where I lived. We lived in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, oh, and I had read all of my books, like there was nothing left to read. My mother bought me 9 books at the beginning of summer. And I was done with them, you know, the first week, and she was upset with me. It's like, but, you know, that's all I did was read. And so I agreed to go to Bible camp, knowing that it would be church every day, knowing that in my grandmother's faith, all the girls had really long hair and only wore long dresses, and I had really short hair. And so packed up the dresses and off I went. And so the first church night, the pastor's talking about the importance of getting the Holy Spirit. And so, and that's all that was talked about during church. There'd be a lot of singing, and then some of the kids would get the Holy Spirit. They would shout out, dance, hands raised, and I would look at them, you know, very curious about it. Second night, same thing. Third night, same thing. Fourth night. And I start to panic, because I'm not getting the Holy Ghost. And so the last night, all the children, oh, I should have said I was in third grade. That, I think that matters a lot.
Okay, yeah, that's good. It's a good qualifier.
So the last night, everybody's looking at me, because the goal is 100% to have of the children get the Holy Ghost. And so I worried that I wouldn't be able to go home. I worried that I was some kind of, I didn't fit in. I already didn't fit in the way I looked. And so I decided I really needed to have the Holy Ghost too. So I raised my hands in praise and started dancing. So I got to go home. My grandmother picked me up and she asked me if I got the Holy Ghost. And I said, yes, I did. And she just praised Jesus. She was so excited. I get home to my parents, my grandmother tells them, and they're both not going to church. They're not really religious at all. And they're like, oh, okay. So they get me home and they say, so Karen, what happened? I said, I got the Holy Ghost. And they said, huh, well, what did you do? And I said, I did what all the other kids did. And then they said, could you show us? So I did. I put on a little performance, and they were just laughing and crying because they the performance.
Yeah.
That was the funny story I have about the Holy Ghost. And
oh my gosh, that's so cute.
I hope my grandmother never found out the truth that I was acting class. I also believe all the other kids were too. They just wanted to please the adults in the room.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a hard thing to recognize when you're that young.
Yeah. Yeah. And I recognize now the times I have felt God in me. I know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean jumping around and dancing. It's just like this warm caress, this warm feeling of feeling really blessed. And it's a special moment, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. For me, it's goosebumps. Not like old goosebumps. That's totally different. But like if I'm really, like if I'm talking to someone, especially if you know, they're going through something hard or whatever, and I'm just, it's like the words aren't even mine almost. They're just flowing so fast. And then I get goosebumps. I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit is here. He knows. I did not recognize that until just within the last couple of years, I would say. And, you know, so that's been fun. That's been really cool, actually. And then, like I said, just to realize, I think we all feel the Holy Spirit in a different way. So for me, I feel him a lot when I write. So if I can get like some quiet time by myself where I'm just writing and it's nobody else and I'm not going to be interrupted, that's going to be awesome. But so many people feel it in different ways, just like you said, you know,
therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And the first time I made that connection, well, I don't know if it was the first time, but a couple of my clients that are really spiritual had said to me in my early career, you know, you're very soothing. It's like really healing coming to talk with you. Like you just seem to know the right thing to say when I need it. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way, the way that they had shared it. But
yeah.
I do believe that working in any kind of helping profession is often a calling, you know, especially the people who really care about the work they're doing and feel like there's purpose and passion in it.
Yeah. It's one of the things I love the most about medicine, actually, are the days that I get to hang out in the office, in the exam rooms with patients and just hear their stories. And I liken it almost to, you know, when you go to your, like your hairdresser or your hair person, and you just, it's like everything comes out. And you may only, I only see my hair person twice a year because I have long hair and I don't color it. So I don't need to go very often. But man, when I am in there, I just like tell her my life story. And she just has that ability. And so sometimes, same with my patients, you know, I might ask them one question because a lot of my patients right now, like I said, they're going through breast cancer. And so they have a lot of heavy stuff on their plate. And so just for somebody to ask them, you know, about other parts of their lives or just pick up on one thing and then just kind of ask them about it. Sometimes it's kind of like that. And I love that when they feel like they can kind of share their story with me and I can be like a witness for them too. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's healing, not just their physical bodies, but you know, their mind, their spirit. So I'm sure they love working with you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
What else would you like to share with my audience? Like anything in your heart, like for people who are out there and they're really struggling, you know, whether it's trauma or loss, what's on your heart that you feel like would maybe plant that seed of hope in them?
Yeah, a couple of things that are coming to mind right now. Number one is just be kind to yourself, you know, be kind to yourself and knowing that you'll get there. It's okay to have days where you're not okay, you know, where you don't feel okay. You don't feel like there's purpose in your pain. You're having trouble finding hope. You don't feel like yourself. It's okay to have days like that. If I could suggest or plant the seed that, but also know that Sometimes change requires a choice. So we don't always have a choice of what happens to us. In fact, most of the time we don't have a choice of what happens to us, but we do often get to make small choices each day that can significantly change the trajectory of where we're going. So a small choice might just be, you know, to find one thing that's positive to look forward to, or, you know, to choose to find a therapist, or to choose, if, you know, for me, when my mom passed, choosing to honor her memories more than to focus on just my grief, but still knowing that honoring her was part of the grief journey. And the other thing is, and this one, you know, again, here we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's like written on like a billboard across my eyes. So it's meant for somebody. Somebody listening to this is meant to hear it. But the struggle is intentional. And that's a really hard thing to hear sometimes, because I often have to remind myself and others that God doesn't allow us to go. He doesn't cause the pain. He's not like this evil person up in, you know, just pointing arrows at people and saying, you're going to go through cancer and you're going to go through the death of your mom. And, you know, it's not like that. But I think he allows us to walk through these painful things because he knows how much it's going to change us. And then I often tell my clients, let it, you know, let what you went through change you, but let it change you in a good way. Let it change you so that you can use your story to unlock somebody else's prison someday. You know, your story may be exactly what somebody else needs down the road to get past their most painful part in life. And so just those two things there, what's on my heart right now is, you know, be kind to yourself. So you have to fill your own cup up before you can fill up other people's. And then just know that the struggle is intentional, but it's intentional in a good way. It's intentional that we can change. Our lives can change in such a way that God's going to give you your something bigger, something different. And it most often comes through those very painful parts of our life, but we just have to make that shift in our brain to see, oh, I'm just going to think about this a little bit differently here. So that's all. I just wish I could give them all a big hug because I'm a Midwestern girl and we give hugs to everybody. So I often say, like, if we meet for the first time and you're not a hugger, just go ahead and put your hand right out and I'll know that you're a handshaker instead of a hugger, because otherwise I'm probably going to come in. I'm going to come in for a big old hug. So
right.
Those are the things I'd love to say.
Yeah. And for people listening, you know, that was beautiful. But if you're alone and need a hug, you can hug yourself. Something I just said early, they needed to be soothed and I wasn't there, that they could go ahead and squeeze themselves. Mm. So give please. Anybody listen? But
yes, so, I love that.
Thank you. You're beautiful inside and out.
Thank you.
Get to know you more or reach out to you, how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, the best place is my website, which is www.soniajoymack.com. But I also hang out on Facebook, Sonia Joy Mack author, and then on Instagram at Sonia Joy Mack. So those are the best places to get to know me and learn how we can become integral parts of each other's lives, because we're in this together. That's my tagline. We're in this together.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thanks for being on our show today.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.